What it do?
Ahoy!
What up?
Nothing. Hello. Just hanging out.
How's everybody's Thursday?
A little,
verklempt.
Little tired.
Oh, are you hungover from the Metallica show?
Ears are kind of ringing a little bit. Voice gone.
Are you hungover?
I'm feeling the effects.
Did you party?
Over. I just feel tired.
Massive quantities of blow.
But hungover, not necessarily the term that I would use.
What term would you use?
Like worn down. Physically and emotionally tired.
Now, do your kids do hungover. Blow with you for shows like that?
Well, I start them off with something like a little,
Oh, just weed.
Yeah, you got to graduate. You don't just jump into blow. It's like, here's your first Metallica show. Let's do some railers together.
Actually, you kind of do just jump into blow. It's kind of how it works.
It's like you're in Cub Scout camp sometimes. Someone's hey, have you ever tried this? You're like, why not? You got a fiver?
Blow is just kind of one of those things you run into eventually.
Yeah.
And then when you decide to let down your guard and your inhibitions, you're like, you know what? Never done it. You do dive right in. I mean,
yeah, you
not that I know from experience.
You don't really dabble. You're just like, whatever, this may happen.
Yeah, you don't just dabble.
I have said this multiple times that one of the big realizations of becoming an adult is how many people do cocaine. Like when you're young, at least and maybe this is different for the Mike's generation, but we had the dare to keep kids off drugs and all the after school specials, and it was like cocaine was just this evil sort of thing that happened in the shady underbelly or maybe corporate America, and then you went to prison if you did coke, Len Bias, right, you're gonna keel over and die. And then at some point in your life you look over there and there's just everyone's just hey, you want some blow? You're like, what? Yeah, we're just hanging out at the kitchen table. Here, have some. And it's very strange when you realize that isn't the big deal that you thought it was growing up.
Well, yeah, I think you get to a point where the question of, hey, do you want some blow? You are not surprised by that question.
No.
You don't go, what? No. You go, not tonight.
And the guy that is asking you is your boss or something. you're at some sort of corporate party. He's hey, you want to do some blow?
Well, hey,
no.
Isn't it a fine pick-me-up?
I would assume that for some people, yeah.
I mean, look, drugs are bad, okay? I'm neutral on cocaine. I'm not for, I'm not against. I just don't think you should do drugs. I try not to put substances like that into my bod.
Minus alcohol.
My hot bod. Now, alcohol is a totally different story. But, I just, whatever. It is what it is. But I just figure when people go to concerts, to rock out and stuff, yeah. I just assume that people, all over those arenas are just wasted on multiple chemicals.
Oh, I saw there because we were down on the floor and
I mean, people use concerts.
Yeah.
Give me another sort of activity. By the way, we have a little show announcement coming up in a second.
Oh, yeah.
We need to talk about. We need to tell you guys something. But give me another activity, another thing that people do that they get more wasted for.
No. And then the amazing part is there's you go down on the floor. I mean, those aren't cheap seats.
No.
So someone's paying a lot of money to not remember what's going on at that particular moment. There was a gentleman last night down there with us, and I don't know what he was on. I don't know how much of whatever he was on, but he was so, so plastered. And he was trying to FaceTime his wife. His wife couldn't be at the show for some reason. And so he was FaceTiming her. But in reality, he just was recording. He kept trying to figure out what was going on with the FaceTime thing and why his wife wouldn't respond to him. That's because he just had the camera on and was recording the entire time. And we were trying to explain that to him, and at no point was he willing to listen to that. And he did that for, I'm going to say, a good solid 45 minutes straight of the show where he was not even facing the stage. He was just looking away from it, holding up his phone, seemingly trying to talk to his wife while not FaceTiming her.
Hmm.
Yeah. It was interesting.
Well, somebody mentioned Burning Man.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Burning Man is definitely one of those.
Yeah, but there, it's not a lot. It's not a lot.
Well, but Burning Man is a concert. I mean, isn't that's...
It is?
Oh, it's a festival. I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
I guess it could be grouped in there, but
it's the same sort of it's the same sort of thing.
It doesn't matter what genre you go to a country show, go to a rock show, go to a I don't know, sometimes the old, you go to a Fleetwood Mac show, a lot of those people are sober,
yeah,
because they're old people.
But if you go to the classic rock show or the classic, you go to a Def Leppard heard Motley Crue show.
They just get wasted.
That may be the biggest gong show I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, it's just, that's just, you see like the 55-year-old just power chemical user, and they're just out in force.
Power chemical user.
Yes. There was another guy who actually seemed fairly young. I'm going to say he was in his mid-20s, and he took to the floor. Like, he was rocking out, and you couldn't miss him, right? I mean, he was, there's standouts in every crowd, right? You're down there in, amongst the big pit of people, and it's just general admission down by the stage, and there's great people watching. You're kind of scoping everything out. But every now and then, you get a real winner, a guy like that just stands out in a crowd, a champion amongst men. And there was a man, I'm not going to call him a hero because what's a hero? But somewhere in the middle of Master of Puppets, he went to his knees. He was going air guitar, and he dropped to his knees and then went knee air guitar, hip thrust, headbang for pretty much the duration of the concert. And everyone respected his studio space. There was like a good little 5-foot cone around him, and everyone just gave him room. And he proceeded to rock from his knees on the disgusting beer-spewed floor of the Moda Center. And he couldn't have been any happier.
Well, sounds like a hero to me.
Yeah.
He was into it. And I would say this. Those people are awesome because I can't get to that level.
No.
Can you?
No.
Like, in front of thousands of people, I just can't get there. I just don't. Like, in other words, if you took what is in his body and put it in my body in terms of his substances for that evening or the last couple of days, whatever, I would probably be in the ER.
Or dead, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Valid point.
Not doing that.
No. Well, and I don't know about you, but just, you've seen the floor of a concert venue, right? I mean, it's pretty much the worst.
You probably don't want to lick it.
No. No, it's like
matter where you step, it's sticky.
It's all bad. All bad. So for you to want to go down on your knees and then at some point all fours, I don't know what you have to be on where that seems like a good idea. And at no point during his probably 35 minutes down on the floor, including through the encore.
Hell no.
At no point did he think to himself, this is not where I want to be. Maybe I should stand up. No. Mm-mm. Kept going.
He was into it, man.
And I also love the...
love that.
There were several guys of our age range, and they were there with the with like the wives. And they were into it, like rocking. And then you could tell the wife just didn't want to be there. It was just...
Oh, it was getting a little overboard for her?
Just stone face, like, what are we doing? And then one by one, you would look around, and the wives will have peeled off.
Where'd they go?
We don't know.
To the bar or something?
We're assuming to the bar, maybe to the car. We don't know. But one by one, we watched them peel away where you're like, wait, wasn't that guy just with his wife? Nope. Just solo. Like, he got so embarrassed. Like, she was so embarrassed of him or just got tired of the show where she's like, I can't do this anymore.
They went to grab a nice glass of Chardonnay and talk crap on their husband.
Pretty much. I'll be back in 5 minutes, and that means I'm not coming back for the rest of the show.
Okay, so here we have something to tell you guys. We mentioned yesterday we had a little bit of an announcement off the top, and we do. Souk is gay.
Well, I thought
No. Oh, was that not the one?
No, 33%.
Oh, that's... Oh.
It's a little more than a quarter. It's 2018. It's okay.
No, our announcement is that we will not be having a radiothon in 2018. It's about that time of year.
Yeah, we're getting some emails and people asking the question when it is going to go down.
And it is not going to go down.
No.
And so, as you well know, very few things we take seriously on this show. One of them that we do is that radiothon and your money when we ask for it via our radiothon. And we've done that, 7-8 years now?
Yep.
About this time of year, every year, raising money for Special Olympics Oregon. I think it was over 200,000 that you all ponied up last year. That was in like 16 hours.
I think we may have hit the quarter mil point.
I don't think so. I think we just got
shy of it. It was our biggest year last year.
It was huge, yeah. And that's in like 16 hours, man. Yeah. And it's not corporate. It's not pre-planned.
Nope.
Like, hey, I'm going to give you $10,000. Set it up so that we... No, it's like all just you guys... coming through with donation items and stuff. And we have a lot of fun doing it. It's a lot of work, but, you know, nothing sinister occurred at Special Olympics Oregon, but they did get into some financial problems. And they have new leadership now, and we've met with the new leadership, but ultimately decided that while we want to use the show to help in the community, we always do, we should do that every year, at least once a year. We respect our audience too much to ask them for more money for an organization that has lost some confidence. And they're building it back up. It's a great organization. It's a great cause.
New leadership. And like you said, they're trying to dig their way out of it. Right now, there's no games planned. And that's the other one where we have a hard time, because we do take that very seriously when you guys donate your time, your talents, your money, especially to, you know, causes that we try to put our name behind. You want to make sure that is going to serve, you know, the cause that we say. And right now, unfortunately, in their financial situation, they can't put on any games right now. They're just trying to restructure and get their financial, house in order. And we just, in good faith, can't ask for money when we're not certain when those games and when those athletes are going to be helped out.
Yeah, right. You have to have that confidence that it's truly helping. And we don't have that right now. So we love Special Olympics Oregon, and we loved helping raise money for them with you guys. But we decided that it's a good time this year to kind of step back and transition to maybe something else. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like, but we've got some time to put it together. But this year, for 2018, no Radiothon. And for some people, they may actually like that, because they're like, oh, man, I just want my sports or whatever. But
you'll get it.
So we'll see what happens next year. So if you're listening for the Radiothon, which occurs around, is it this week? I think it's this week.
Yeah, it's usually around next week. It's usually right around this time. I would say it's right around somewhere between like the 8th and the 12th most years. So it would have been occurring very, very soon. And plus, those things take months and months and months of planning to try to put that thing on. And so it's just, even logistically, it's just not possible this year.
Okay, so we'll circle back next year and we'll see what comes of it. Maybe we can raise some money for your new boat that you want. Maybe the listeners can help you out. There's a charity.
The Isaac and Sook Radiothon for Sook's boat.
Maybe get me a country club membership or something.
There we go. Can't we just do like a GoFundMe campaign for a country club membership for you, a fishing boat for me, and see what happens?
All right, so are you ready to do some sport?
I don't think, by the way, we're raising a whole lot of cash for that one.
For what?
Might be coming up a little
short.
Your
boat?
Or your country. Which one would get more?
Ooh.
Your country club membership,
the boat.
Which is highbrow, or my lowbrow boat.
Yeah, probably the boat.
They're both terrible causes, but I feel like maybe the boat is more relatable than the country club membership.
Sure is.
Okay.
Boat-a-thon 2019.
Boat-a-thon 2019. Let's start it.
Coming your way. Okay, well, where do we begin? We've got the Blazers tonight, but do we?
Well, if you want to see the Blazers win, this should be a win. We need to discuss a statement that you made before we went on the air.
Let's talk about that next.
That I don't think I've heard another sports fan ever utter.
Now, that's just crazy talk.
I don't think I've heard this.
That's crazy talk.
I don't think it is. And I plan to take it to the airwaves and ask the people.
Yeah, let's talk about that. We'll talk about that coming up next. We have audio. You know, free throw guy is leaving Portland.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that.
I did see that.
So
whatever will we do?
Yeah,
I know. Like when Fireman Ed retired as the Super Jets fan, only to return like 4 months later.
Also, when Larry Scott and Oregon State President Ed Ray speak with one another, it gets to be a little out of touchy.
What? No.
Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah. You're telling me that a university president maybe doesn't have his finger on the pulse? That never happens with higher.
Well, and Larry Scott.
Larry Scott hasn't had his finger on the pulse in 2 decades.
All right. So that, wait till you hear that conversation. So that's coming up too. And we have our NFL challenge at 4. So let's get started with my declaration. What are you laughing at?
Just this, that you said it with a straight face.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah.
I'm not lying to you. I don't think you do believe it. And I think you're going to backtrack on said statement.
Why would I do that? Because you try to bully me. I'm used to your shenanigans. I'm not taking this crap from you.
We'll see.
This is one of my favorite players, and I have a jersey of him.
I don't think you do.
Actually, I
two,
don't.
It's not one of your favorite players.
I'm lying.
And I don't think you can tell me a time that you watched him play.
Oh, I watch him all the time.
And in no way are
you're
you
an
sad
idiot.
That he
you know
may
what?
Or may not be
this
playing.
Is the worst thing that you do is you tell other people how they feel when they tell you how they feel. Like, you know how I feel. You don't know how I feel.
I do.
I love this guy, man. I love this guy. That's next on The Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we bid farewell to Free Throw Guy.
Whatever will we do?
I thought he was already gone.
Yeah, I thought he retired like multiple years ago.
But I don't think he did.
Can I just say this to Superfan in general?
You're just going to poop on everything today, aren't you?
I'm going to poop on you here in a second and your fake fandom. That we'll get to. Don't worry about that. You got yours coming. But Superfan, I love that Superfan has to announce his retirement. No one cares. You're not a thing. Fireman
poop
Ed,
on you and then eat it.
Or who is it? The Steve-O in Seattle? Like, or someone in the black hole, like the Raiders? Like, no one gives a rip that you wear a Blazers warm-up thing and that you stand behind a basket and yell at people.
No, no one really cares. But, you know, you're the one that always says you need a little more whimsy in your life. How about those guys are just, they're just carrying out their whimsy, their fans.
That's sad is what that is. I find Superfan to be kind of sad, quite frankly.
So I'm a super fan of Alex Smith. That's what I said that Suk got all pissed off about.
Well, I come in and I was like, hey, that sucks about Alex Smith. He's got like a staph infection in his broken leg.
It's horrible.
And that's what ended like LeCharles Bentley's career. It can eat away muscle tissue and like you don't get that back and he may be done playing. And I said, that sucks. And you made a comment that you felt bad for him. And I was like, he's got $80 million guarantee. He's going to be fine. And then you responded with this. Well, I feel bad for me because I love Alex Smith and I love watching him play.
That's not what I said
at
all.
That
is such an exaggeration.
How many Redskins games have you watched this year, Rob?
I watched them.
You said you love Alex Smith and you love watching him play.
That's not what I said.
I should want to marry him.
You are such an exaggerator. I said I'm a fan of Alex Smith.
No.
You said no one's going to. Yes. Here's what you said. Let me tell you what you said. You said no one's going to feel sorry for him because you're talking about the money. And I said, well, I kind of do because I'm a fan of Alex Smith. And you said, wait, really? You watch Alex Smith? I'm like, yeah, I like watching Alex Smith play. That's what I said. And
I
you
have
said,
pictures hanging in my closet of him.
You
no
said
one,
nobody does that.
No one. Alex, you're
except
Alex Smith.
Except for who has two thumbs and watches Alex Smith?
No.
This guy.
You like 5-yard checkdowns and out at you. When's the last time you watched Alex Smith play?
I watch the whole NFL, dude. You know me. I have the
backpedal.
I watch the whole NFL.
I watch
dude.
Them all.
So basically, like once or twice a week, you happen to get a Redskins
to
highlight.
To be a fan of a guy, you have to watch every single snap. That's stupid.
You haven't watched 20 snaps of Alex Smith all year.
I've absolutely watched over 20 snaps of
Alex Smith.
He is my favorite player.
Alex Smith's mom's favorite player isn't Alex Smith. And yet you were trying to come across as if somehow you're an Alex Smith fan?
Alex Smith
is, you're not.
I am an Alex Smith fan, and here's why. When he was in San Francisco, you know, he was the number one pick in the draft. Did you know that, sports guy?
I did know that.
Number one pick.
I'm familiar.
So then he goes to San Francisco as the number one pick, and he has 5 offensive coordinators in 5 years, and everyone calls him a bust. Now, see, that's where I hop on board the Alex Smith train. I'm like, man, that dude was really good at Utah. He's the number one pick. And holy crap, has he gotten a raw deal in San Francisco. And then he resurrects his career, helped by Andy Reid. But I thought
was Jim Harbaugh. But
I thought that was great, you know, that Alex Smith came back and was like shutting everybody up. And honestly, I think he's actually a pretty good quarterback. He's better than people give him credit
for.
He is,
but you don't watch him and you're not a fan. If Alex Smith never plays another down in the NFL, no one notices.
I will be sad.
Starting with you.
I will be very sad.
And
I will cry. I'm going to cry.
In no way will you miss Alex Smith at all.
I will cry a little bit. I'll pour one out for my homie.
You're such a diehard Alex Smith fan.
No.
I just like Alex Smith. You don't like certain guys for what they've been through. The operating table. He's about to die. His leg's filleted open. He's got a broken leg.
Well, he's not going to die.
He's got an infection. He could be dead in an hour.
What?
You know?
Okay. What?
Again, you said you like watching him play. What about Alex Smith do you like watching? Because
I root
you
for
don't
him.
Watch him.
I root for him, Jace.
You just said you liked watching him play. So what about his game is exciting?
I think he's better than people give him credit for.
He's good. This is the most nondescript breakdown of a player ever.
What do you want from me? This is impossible. I'm telling you exactly how I feel, and you just can't wrap your head around it. So therefore, you're just going to sit and bully me until I'm not changing. I love this guy. As a matter of fact, I don't love him. I might go down there. I might go visit him.
Lynch isn't buying it either. When I told Lynch
is an idiot
during the break, he said the same thing. He goes, no one's rooting for Alex. Washington Redskins fans aren't Alex Smith fans.
Rupp is an idiot.
I like those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I like him.
I'm sure you do.
Alexander Douglas Smith. I feel a kinship with him. You know, and, you know, they call me
super
an empath.
Super glad you looked him up on Pro Football Reference to get his middle name.
I'm an empath, you know. Do you know what an empath is?
Yes. You feel other people's
pain. I feel that right now.
So
my lower
leg hurts a lot.
My lower leg is really bothering me right now, and I think it's me and Al.
This guy's a Better You Today text line. This Smith fanboy talk from Rob is the first he's ever heard of it. It's the first anyone's ever heard of it. Look, in the history of Alex Smith.
All you said was the guy, no one's going to feel sorry for the guy. I said, you know what? I kind of do because I'm an Alex Smith fan. Is that so wrong?
You're not an Alex Smith fan.
Big Alex Smith fan.
And I called you on it. And now you're trying to defend it, and you can't because no one buys that you're an Alex Smith fan.
How is it that you're the only person on earth that can tell somebody that how they think, and they will defend it vehemently because they think how they think, not how you think they think, and yet it's still not enough? Like, I don't know what more to tell you. What do you need? Do you need me to show pictures of us having sex together in order
That would be something.
I mean,
do those exist?
If I had that, I would show that to you. Be like, look, I'm really a fan. Look at this. Me and him snuggling.
John.
So I don't know what else I can tell you other than I root for Alex Smith. I like him. I was sad to see him leave the Chiefs. I thought, I'm like, man, there he goes. You know, the guy's getting kind of booted for a young guy again. I'm like, I want him to go to Washington, and I want him to do well.
Alex Smith.
And now he goes down with a Joe Theismann-like injury. It's sad.
Alex Smith is officially the Applebee's of NFL quarterbacks. No one hates him, but nobody seeks him out. Exactly. You may not root against Alex Smith. You don't root for him.
Love him.
You don't. At no point in your life have you sat on the couch and stood up and cheered because of something that Alex Smith did.
That may be true, but...
So then you don't love him.
No, I do love him. I'm in love with him.
Well, you're never going to get to see him play football again.
I know. It's sad. I can't believe you guys are so heartless. This guy's career is over.
Well, it's potentially over.
Maybe.
Seriously.
Maybe.
He has an infection.
Yeah, those things actually are.
That's not good, man.
No, those are career enders. On the plus side,
though, you're just sitting here making fun of him.
He does get no.
Well, we're making fun of you.
I'm making fun
heartless
of you for
asses.
Trying to claim that you're an Alex Smith fan.
Just heartless. I just, you know what? I'm going to start my own show. Like I'm leaving.
This is like when you claim
I'm going to go do a show that's more, I don't know, it's just more happy and loving.
More Alex Smithy?
Just better. You know, better than this crap. I'm better than this.
Yeah. No, really.
Me and Al.
Actually, you're not.
You can call me Al. You know that song?
I do know that song.
You know what that song's about?
Your love for Alex Smith?
Yeah, dude.
Your mysterious fandom for Alex Smith?
I don't think it's too mysterious.
Yeah. He's about as, of the halfway decent quarterbacks, that's about as nondescript as you can get. It's
Let's move on.
We ran into that little kid that was an Andy Dalton fan for some reason. Like, what? We were doing the radiothon. And
was he a redhead? Maybe he related.
I'm trying to remember. I ran into him at Laurelwood, and he was with his parents, and we're like, we bought the Andy Dalton jersey, and our son's a huge Andy Dalton fan. I went, oh my god, why? You guys from Cincinnati? No, like why? You know, I don't know. He was just watching TV one day and decided he was an Andy Dalton fan. It was like a 10-year-old kid in Portland that just loves Andy Dalton.
No, that's pressure from dad. That's what that is.
The dad's not a Cincinnati fan.
I thought he was.
No.
Is he a TCU fan?
I don't remember.
Does he just like frogs a lot?
He just told me like
he thinks horned frogs are cool.
I asked. I was like, how does he become an Andy Dalton fan? And the dad did not have an answer. Not that he was willing to share. Kind of like Rob and his mysterious Alex Smith fandom.
Al, I'll miss you, babe. And you know what? Alex, I want you to know on these airwaves that somebody in Portland has got your back, okay? Yeah. These guys continue to crap on you. You've had a very good career when everybody said you were a bust, bro. You and me, we're bros. Love you. Out.
Bali Count's a very nice guy.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, we can agree on one thing.
He's
nicer than you.
That you don't watch Alex Smith play. Yes, we can both agree on that. And Mike agrees with me, too.
Hey, look at that. Somebody just texted in. They're with me on him.
I
got a guy out there.
You've converted them.
F all you.
To an Alex Smith fan.
All right, so coming up next, wait till you hear what Larry Scott and Ed Ray talk about. Now, this is just a small exchange, but it just sheds light on sort of how out of touch these guys are.
100%.
When it comes to, you know, well, everything.
College football.
Yeah, basically athletics. So we'll get to that coming up next. Here's Mike with sports.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, I've got a prize bribe here for you guys. Prize bribe time. Everybody loves the Les Schwab Invitational. It's kind of a staple this time of year. First caller right now at 503-250-1080. 503-250-1080. First caller wins a family four-pack of tickets to Session 4 of the Les Schwab Invitational presented by Express Employment Professional at Liberty High School Thursday, December 27th. Tickets available at lesschwabinvitational.com.
It's all about Session 4. I mean, you're no one if you're not at Session 4.
You ever been to that thing?
Years and years ago, when it first went out to Liberty, Oak Hill was playing, I think it was Lake O back when Kevin Love was there, and I went out and saw one of those games.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Should check it out.
Yeah.
Big-time high school basketball.
Absolutely. Some of the best in the country. And then don't forget, later on today, we're going to have a pair of dinner boots we're giving away to the fourth caller. So at some point today, we have another prize bribe. If you don't win...
Look at you just twisting that right into your Danner Boots thing.
Stage 4 or Phase 4 of the Les Schwab Invitational. We can get you a pair of boots.
Session 4. What a pro you are.
Not all of us can be diehard Alex Smith fans.
Okay, so this comes from the Mercury News. And I saw it. I didn't read the article, but it's on Dan Walken's Twitter, and he's a college football guy.
That is where I saw it as well.
Yeah. And he just tweeted on there, what did he tweet? He said, oh, this is just a cringe-worthy exchange.
Yeah.
Basically is what he said. And it comes from the San Jose Mercury News article where President Ed Ray at Oregon State is talking to a group of powers that be in Pac-12 football. And Larry Scott, Pac-12 commissioner, is there. And Ed Ray says, quote, "We have no interest in letting others define us. We do have so much to be proud of. I have seen no adverse impact of sports writer nastiness among supporters of the university. We should talk about seizing the communications initiative in the sports world. I think some of your concern is probably due to having to deal continually with the characters who populate sports media." End quote. Basically, what I'm gathering there is he's responding to people who are like, hey, man, you know, the Pac-12's a mess. And, of course, all this stuff's been out in the media. And he's like, no, it's not.
Yep.
It's just people making stuff up.
Well, the emperor doesn't want to see that he doesn't have any clothes. That just shows you, because we asked the question, right? How can you have the most irrelevant conference in football and basketball, by far the one bringing in the least amount of money, and by far the most expensive one? As well, how can that be allowed to go on? And the truth of the matter is the presidents don't care. And this shows you that. You've got Ed Ray on here, who's one of the presidents, who just is like, there's no problems here. Well, so we spend more than anyone else and we make less than everyone else. And we're irrelevant in football and basketball right now. What's the problem? Oh, Larry Scott's great. Give him $5 million a year.
So here is Larry Scott's response to what Ed Ray said. And he says,
give him an attaboy.
Quote, thanks for your note and sharing with the group. We've got some CEOs new to this environment with angry sports blogger mob, and I'm sure some are more sensitive and reactionary to it. So your note was very helpful indeed. End quote.
I love how we've turned, and I get social media and angry blogger and, you know, everyone has a voice. I get that stuff can be overly negative, and very rarely does someone ever just go on Twitter or Instagram or a Facebook post and be like, hey, doing a bang up job. But it's become this de facto thing now that when you get criticism that you don't like, you just go to the fake news thing. You just go to, well, that's not real. It's just some angry guy behind the message board. No, it's not. There's facts. There's empirical evidence behind this.
Yeah, the Blazers are like this.
Yes, the Blazers are very
much
like this.
But, you know, a lot of franchises are like this now. This is like the new thing where they all, I'm telling you, they're all in a bubble, man. They live in a bubble.
Yeah.
And in that
state-run media.
In that bubble, they sit and talk to each other about how to, not how to do the right thing, not how to listen to constructive criticism and get better, not how to read what the media writes and see if any of it resonates. That's like something, yeah, maybe I had a blind spot there, or you know, this or that. No, it's none of that. What they do is they sit in their bubble, their little ivory tower, and their jets, and their big money world, and they sit and talk about how to better control the narrative.
Yeah.
That's what they want to do. They want to control the narrative. And look, the Blazers are the best example of this. Look at what they have done. They have kicked anyone off of their flagship television station, NBC Sports Northwest. Mm-hmm. Anyone who is even mildly critical got kicked off of there. And don't think that Jason Quick just left for The Athletic. It didn't work out because Jason Quick was, well,
a real journalist.
He was fair.
Yeah.
And they didn't like that. And so it's not to say everybody on there now, you know, isn't telling the truth or this or that. It's just that they control more than ever. They control the narrative. And this is what I was trying to say when they turfed me from talking ball. I was just trying to say, that's not about me. I'm just trying to tell you, look, they're really trying to control this, man.
Yeah.
Because none of what I tweeted or none of what I said was that bad. It was pretty mundane, actually. It's just they didn't like it, and so get that guy out. This is happening all over the country. Trust me. This is happening all over the country. Teams, this is how they're kind of going about business now. And it's really scary because, and I don't know if it's a Trump thing. Like, that guy,
he's a master of it.
Well, he's definitely the master of it. Maybe the way he goes about it has sort of influenced this. You know, the other people see that. That are heads of organizations or that have something to hide or want to control. And so they kind of take on that persona too. It would be interesting to see if this kind of phenomenon would have happened as much as it has just in sports if he weren't president. I think that's fascinating, but there would be no way to know. But it's just like, you know, they do emulate. And that's the most powerful chair in the country, and people do emulate that. And so I think it's really scary because I think fans suffer. Fans suffer because you never get the true story unless you're smart enough to weed through all that crap and find the people who are simply just trying to do their job and tell you the truth.
Well, it's the ultimate power position when you think about it, right? If we are involved in an argument and I know I'm wrong, 100%, I know I'm wrong. The easiest way for me to try to win that argument is to just whatever comes out of your mouth is a lie. And if I just hold on to that and I yell louder than you, and eventually I believe
and I'm more powerful.
Yeah. It works.
It's a Trump card.
So we can all sit here and
literally
say, we can all sit here. By the way, well played.
Thank you.
Bravo. We can all sit here and look at the Pac-12 and be like, there's clearly problems here. But Larry Scott and the 12 university presidents can sit up in their high-rise office in San Francisco and just yell louder than everyone else. That it's not an issue. We've listened to Larry Scott at Pac-12 Media Day for what now? 4 years? Try to tell us about how great the Pac-12 media deal is. And each year, we just kind of sit there and you scratch your head and you're like, oh my God, like you keep going down this road because each year the deal looks worse and worse and worse and worse, but he will never own up to it. It's like, honestly, the new strategy is never to show any weakness. Never, as you said, to admit that there's a blind spot or a place we could get better. It's just deny, 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 call it fake, call it lies, and hope that other people get on board your message.
Yeah, fake news, man. That's the new thing.
It's
just scary. It's really scary to see guys like Larry Scott. I mean, dude, it's sports.
Yeah.
This is not life and death, you know? And yet these Larry Scott, Ed Ray types take this kind of stance. It's like, why? Why?
Yeah.
How about just get better? How about, does he not want to do a good job? He just wants to so it's now what happens is you hire this guy, Larry Scott. He comes in, he does what he does for however many years he's been on. It seems like a while now, 7 years or whatever. Does what he does. Mm-hmm. And there's no consequence to it, whether it's good or bad. And he just sits in his ivory tower and his personal jet or whatever the hell the guy makes like $5 million a year.
$4.8 million, I think.
And there's no consequences to anything that he's done.
It
like, this is how it works now. Like, I want those gigs. I mean, seriously.
Big to fail.
I mean, you and I got to get ratings to stay on the air.
Or you're done.
You know, it's like there's no account. The higher up you go, the less accountability there is. And it drives people mad, which is why the media is pushing back more than ever. You see with not just in political news, but in sports and everywhere. They're pushing back because you cannot let that go.
Yeah.
You cannot let the idea of seeking the truth, no matter who it hurts or who gets fired or who loses their big fat paycheck, you can't let that get in the way.
And you see how dangerous it is, whether it's the Baylor thing, whether it's the Joe Paterno thing, Urban Meyer, whatever. You see this on college, you know, campuses a lot, because the fan base is so loyal and to these lovable figures that at the first sign of trouble, what do colleges, like fan bases, do? No one takes a step back. And anytime there's been this, think about all the scandals we've had in college sports over the last handful of years. There's very few, at least in if you want to talk fan bases in large groups, that actually take a second and step back and do the, well, let's just kind of see how this plays out. You know, maybe there's something to this. You instantly put up the defenses and you're like, F you, not our guy. Urban Meyer didn't do this. We're taking to the streets and we're going to rally in support of him. Joe Paterno would never do this. This could never happen at Michigan State. This could never happen at Baylor. You know, no, we know this guy. We love him. And the reaction is, at the first sign of something that you don't like, it's to go down the defensive. And the defensive has become to take a strong offense to it. And that's to try to tear down the messenger, try to tear down the reporting and call it sloppy, call it biased, call it fake, call it whatever. And it really has become the standard operating playbook.
I guess the power of that is that people just kind of move on, right?
Yes.
Like I said, there's no accountability. So you can say that. Even it could be as ridiculous and as blasphemous as ever, but no one really cares.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Larry Scott's not getting fired.
It's why good people say this all the time, but it's why good reporting, good journalism, in all walks of life is so, so important.
That's
because
right.
They're the ones that hold people in power accountable.
That's right. I mean, nothing happens with Zach Smith without good reporting.
Exactly.
Right. If small sports example,
but you can take that all the way up to the chain to the very biggest stories that can crumble governments.
All right, text the Better You Today text line of 55305. Your thoughts on that? We have our NFL picks coming up here in 15 minutes on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, our NFL challenge coming up in 10 minutes. Some texts on here. Better You Today, text line 55305. Man, this guy says, I'm so frustrated. Ed Ray is sounding Trumpian, and his athletic department could use money more than anything else. What the hell is he thinking? Makes me not want to buy more Beaver gear.
Well, that's the only thing that I don't understand about what's going on in the Pac-12 is it's not good enough. Like, I understand if things are going well and people want to be critical. But by no objective term can you say that things are good in the Pac-12. You have the worst TV deal. You make less. You spend more. Largely, people think the two main revenue-generating sports are irrelevant. I scratch my head at the notion that that the university president, Larry Scott, can continue to say everything's okay.
Yeah, they're playing the whole fake news thing. But it's good to them. Like, we've talked about this before, but, you know, university presidents out west, you know, they're kind of, I don't know, I think they're looking at it going, well, Larry Scott has done a good job because look at all the money that we're bringing in now.
Yeah.
They don't care about it compared to the SEC. They don't want to be the SEC. They have a holier than thou sort of, like, out here, we think we're the greatest because of all the academics, yeah. Right? Like some of these institutions are pretty highbrow institutions, you know?
Yeah. Stanford, and Cal, so, USC.
That's right. And so these guys that are running those are looking at this going, hey, Larry, great job. Thanks for bringing in whatever it is, $35 million a year from football. That's better than it used to be. You're doing a great job. Slap on the back. And
here's
now he goes out and, goes to another fundraising thing for something way more important than football, right? Whereas you get down into SET territory and some of those schools, you know, in the Big Ten, and it's all about this. Yeah, this is
winning and losing and how much money you're bringing in and putting teams in the playoffs.
So, yes, it could get better. But from their perspective, you know, they don't care. It's already better. It's better than it was. That's why they think the way they think.
It's still a very strange concept to me to clearly be lagging behind everyone else and pretending as if, because it's not as if they just, they don't acknowledge that there's a problem. As you said, they seem to think that they're better than everyone else, and that's the fascinating part. Not only can you just do that, no, we're okay. It's no, we're okay, and we're better than everyone else. And they're like, hey, remember 2026, we're the only one that controls all of our media rights. because everyone wants that.
Yeah, and that's kind of where you get into that whole thing of like Neil O'Shea's the king of this, where like it's not really about what's right or wrong or what the truth is.
Yeah.
They make their own truth.
Sure.
Right? They spin things favorable for them, and it's like you shouldn't read that or listen to that. That's not right. Here's the truth.
Flexibility.
When anybody that has half a brain can look at that and go, well, that's not true. No. But
it's not a good thing.
But you can spin it enough that enough people, or you can get disseminate it through your lackeys or whomever enough that people start buying it. It's really scary.
You've at least started to see some kind of cracks in the Pac-12 armor, right? We've had the Arizona athletic director and president spoke out against it. There was Mike Leach had some harsh comments. I'm trying to remember. There was one other AD that spoke up. You're starting to see at least over the last year and a half, some people be starting to question the leadership in the Pac-12. And I think that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. There's a difference between just trying to go out and tear someone a new you-know-what and rip them down and just asking fair questions about business practices and saying, is there a better way to do this? Because at this point, I don't know who outside of the presidents and Larry Scott doesn't think there's a better way to do this.
And for those asking, who is Larry Scott's boss? It's the president.
Yeah, it's the 12 presidents of the school.
Of the universities.
They're the one that make the decision. They're the one that approve his contract. They're the one that approves everything. And right now, it seems the vast majority of them don't have a real issue with what Larry Scott's doing.
Yeah, and like this guy says, rich guys that don't care about making even more money? That's so strange to me.
Yes, that's kind of my thing. I know they're rich guys, but rich old guys like being even richer old guys. It's what they do. And you don't see a lot of rich dudes that don't care about other people spending their money.
They're just out of touch, man. They're in their own bubble. They're in their own world. And, you know, that divide has never been greater.
No.
And it's really...
Well, it is true. We pointed out like Stanford, right? You're talking about like an athletic budget of, let's say, $80 million. And you've got a school budget of $4.5 billion a year at Stanford. And maybe that's what this is it's just lost in the shuffle for the universities out West and they just don't care.
All right. Coming up next, it's our NFL challenge. We have in the news coming up the cherry pow pow, bruh.
Oh, yeah. It's fresh.
It is fresh. And
you gotta go grind.
Grind.
You gonna go up on the weekend?
No. And primetime Southern Oregon, we have crazy guy alert.
Sorry, you got me with that. Where did that come from? What is one more time with that?
I don't know. It's just a noise that I saved.
Well, that's well, clearly that's a rop. I'm just not sure where that started from.
I don't know where any of those came from.
That last one is from Rop recording a spot, and he messed up, and I saved a clip from it.
That's me yodeling.
Damn your talent.
My talents, man. It's scary, isn't it?
How is someone not paying you to lead a conference with this sort of ability?
Right. Do you want to lick my fingers?
That one always just makes me cringe.
All right, let's get to the NFL picks coming up next on The Fan.